B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Legendary Yes frontman John Anderson joins me today on Talkin' Rock. His latest album is called A Thousand Hands. It was 30 years in the making for this record. It even includes some of his former Yes bandmates, including Chris Squire, as he talks about his relationship with the late bass player.
When we went to see Star Wars when it first came out, and from then on, I would sign myself into hotels as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he would sign himself in as Darth Vader.
Give this interview a listen and see what this comment's all about.
And that moment in my life was magical.
Would he ever play with the guys from Yes again? Maybe one more time?
Yeah, I had a dream about a month ago. I was there with my guitar. I went on first and sang a couple of songs and said hello to everybody.
Really excited to bring you this one. John Anderson today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
This is just another one of those instances, kind of like last week when I talked with Rick Emmett, where it's like I'm talking to, you know, a childhood hero of mine. I grew up, you know, listening to Yes on FM radio and different things like that, and I really didn't get into them as a kid, but I rediscovered them as an adult about 3 or 4 years ago when I started collecting records. And I can't remember which one I bought first, but I remember Jeff Tate telling me, like I mentioned in this interview from Queensryche, that, you know, Close to the Edge is like his favorite Yes album. So I went home and listened to that night, and I'm like, this record's awesome. And of course, you have Fragile and 90125 and like all the classic Yes albums. So John's got this latest album out. It's called A Thousand Hands. And as he'll talk about, it's taken decades to complete. And this is, you can hear Yes elements in it, but this is not a Yes record for sure. Like I mentioned, it sounds sometimes more like a movie score, maybe even something sometimes with The Lion King. It's got like, you know, steel drums and different things and all sorts of guest musicians, which we talk about. Chris Squire, Ian Anderson, Steve Howe. I mean, the list is just endless on the guest musicians on this record of A Thousand Hands. So anyways, we'll get on with John Anderson here. As it's funny, this is one of those three-way calls like I had with Rick Emmett last week. And some of these classic rock guys, you know, they just love the name Meltdown. And as John here explains, I never had a chance to meet him. And so he's, you know, I guess Meltdown might be kind of foreign to him, but whatever, it is what it is. Here's John Anderson today on Talking Rock with me, Meltdown.
Hey, Meltdown, I can't believe that's the greatest name ever. I'm Meltdown right now. I've just been talking and talking for the last 3 hours, but it's great to speak to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you as well. I'm a huge fan, and it's really a privilege to speak with you. I've been listening. I saw you last year in Detroit here on the riverfront. That was a great gig.
Oh, yeah. I remember it very well. Thank you. Yeah, I was very scared that there weren't going to be any people there. And then by the time everybody came, it was a great rock and roll show. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, beautiful summer night. Listen, I don't get on my Harley-Davidson and drive downtown just to see anybody, okay? So I had to go see you that day. I'm like, I got to go see John. So it was a great show. But this new record you got is funny because, you know, it's been like 30 years in the making. I talked to Roger Glover from Deep Purple last week, and he talks about their new record saying 50 years in the making, kind of facetiously. But this record, A Thousand Hands, was literally 30 years in the making, wasn't it?
Yeah, it started in 1990. In Big Bear, which is a ski resort near Los Angeles, me and an old friend, Brian Chapman, got together, wrote a bunch of songs, recorded them on a 16-track TIAC, and then I went down to Los Angeles and got Chris Squire and Al White to play on a couple of tracks. And I started thinking, wouldn't it be great to get as many people I've known over my career to play on this album? And then Brian Chapman, God bless him, he ran away with a beautiful girl. That was the end of that. I went on tour. He went on tour with B.B. King, and I went on tour with Yes. And life took over. So it just happened that 28 years later, the producer, Michael Franklin, who knew Brian Chapman and got more money to finish the album, so he called me up and said, have you still got the tapes in your garage? And I said, oh, those tapes, yeah, they're in the garage. They've been sitting there 28 years. And he said, well, send them to me, and we'll put them in the oven, bake them, put them straight to the computer. You have to bake them, or else they fall apart. True.
I believe it.
you play them once, and that's it, straight to the computer. And all the songs actually sounded really good. In fact, it was only within a week he actually put Ian Anderson on from Jethro Tull on one of the tracks, because he knew Ian Anderson very well. And I said to Michael Franklin, this is the idea. But a lot of different people. Do you know anybody? And he said, hey, I'm in Orlando. There's musicians everywhere here. I know Chick Corea. I said, well, ask him to play on the record. He said, yeah, I've got a list here. And you got Tower Power, you got Billy Cobham, and so on and so on. I even got Steve Howe play on the last track. So it was like a miracle to actually finish this album. When we finished it Christmas of 2018, last year, as you know, we went on tour and played in Detroit by the river, and couldn't get a record company until early this year. We found Blue Elan, a sort of boutique record company, and they loved the album, and they put it out 2 days ago. So I'm in heaven now. Thank you very much.
No, it's awesome, and it's, of course, 1,000 hands because it took 1,000 hands to make this record. But, I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of Chris Squires and stuff. You've probably heard this question today, but what was it like to go back and revisit some of his parts?
Ridiculous, because he was so harmonious to the vocal. That was his key. You know, when we started off together, his bass parts were like an integral part of the music and the musicianship of the band, and his singing as well was very, very special. And over the years, you know, we were sort of, you know, we're brothers, you know, musical brothers, and sometimes he wanted to go out and party, and I just didn't want to go out and party. So we were the yin and yang of yes. And, you know, when we went to see Star Wars when it first came out, and from then on, I would sign myself into hotels as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he would sign himself in as Darth Vader. So, we were so different, but we did love each other right until the last moments of his life when he came to me in a beautiful dream. And I spoke about it in this podcast the other day, yesterday, Sunday, yeah. And it was a beautiful moment where I was dreaming all these people in this room, and then I saw this angel to my left, and she pointed up, and I looked up, and it was Chris Squire. I was in Miami. I was in Maui, asleep with my wife there, and I had this beautiful dream, and there was Chris going to heaven. I found out the following day he passed away.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Man, unbelievable. I mean, just
as... He allowed that because he loved you. I said, thank you, it's true.
Yeah. You talk about his voice and stuff, but your voice on this record is almost used as multiple instruments, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm actually doing stuff now. You want to hear some?
Sure.
Vocalizationing every morning. It's sort of exercise of waking up and singing and creating and things like that, you know. So I'm very, very blessed on that level.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great record. It reminds me a lot of like a movie score kind of feel, like almost like a Lion King type thing. Did anyone ever tell you that?
You just did. Never thought about that, but what a great idea.
Hey, real fast on a couple other topics here, because I know my time is running short, but I remember I talked to Geddy Lee last year, and he said that he was so nervous playing with you guys at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he considered it one of the highlights of his career.
Well, it didn't seem like he was just playing great, and he was such a sweet, sweet guy, and that moment in my life was magical, because, you know, you play in front of about 10,000 people, and everybody's there for a lot of different artists, of course, and then it's your turn. It's like, oh, no, I don't know if we're going to play now. I don't know if I can sing properly. And then you get on stage, and all of a sudden it pops, and there you are, round about, Owner of Lonely Heart. And it sounded great, and Geddy Lee was brilliant.
Yeah, he's so great, and of course, heavily influenced by Chris. You know, what is, you know, you've probably heard this question a billion times, so I apologize, but what is the definitive Yes album for you?
In a way, it's as though Fragile was a very important album in some ways, because musically we did Floor, large-scale pieces. And then, of course, it led us into close to the edge. And then topography was like, oh, what are you doing out there? It's a trip. And then people loved that album. And we got to Going for the Run. But Awaken was my favorite Yes album. It was like getting to the top of the mountain, and we did Awaken.
Awaken, okay, all right. Yeah, Close to the Edge, I just love. It's like, I remember Jeff Tate from Queensryche telling me that's one of his favorite all-time records. I just got a really, really mint condition version of an original version of Fragile, because I'll go out and buy these records on vinyl, you know, and I just actually ordered a Thousand Hands on vinyl. My guy just texted me, said it's a little bit back-ordered, so I got to get that one to put up. But man, it's just so good. So what do you got coming up for the rest of the year? Just going to try to plug this record and maybe try to do some live things or what?
I think I'm aiming for spring next year to tour around the world, and I'd love to get the whole of Yes together one day in the next couple of years. Everybody, you know, 20 of us on stage and that kind of thing. And what I'd love to do, obviously, is finish a lot of music that I've been working on over the years. I'm actually finishing off. It's going to take a while, but I did an album years ago called Elias's Son Hilo. And my son Damien was asking me 15 years ago, why don't I do the Son of Elias musical idea? And I've been working on that for 15 years, and now I'm getting close to understanding what it's all about. So life is like that. You know, you expect, you know what you're doing. You just hope you're doing good music, and that's the main thing.
You just mentioned, working with the guys from Yes. Would you want to tour with those guys one more time?
I had a dream about a month ago. I was there with my guitar. I went on first and sang a couple of songs and said hello to everybody. And then Steve Howe's band came on. And then after that, I joined the band with Steve's band and sang Close to the Edge. And Rick came on as well. And then Trevor came on and we did some Moan of a Lonely Heart. And then we all did Awaken. And it was a beautiful moment.
You seem to be led by your dreams.
I think so. Why not?
Exactly. Well, listen, congratulations on 1,000 Hands. It really sounds awesome. And, of course, I'll point everybody that direction. Hey, by the way, you did a thing over the weekend, didn't you? A live Q&A. And how'd that thing go?
It really went very well. You know, and then I listened back to what I was saying. I thought, why do I ramble so much?
My wife says the same thing about me after a night of drinking whiskey all night. So it does happen, but that happens. So, hey, John, thank you so much for the time. It's an honor and a pleasure, and hopefully you get to see you here in Detroit or somewhere on the stage real time anytime soon.
Thanks so much, Meltdown. Wish you well. Look to the wife.
There he is, that voice, John Anderson, today on Talking Rock. If you're not a Yes fan, well, I guess if you're not a Yes fan, you probably wouldn't be listening to this. But if you aren't, go back and revisit some of those records. Like, he mentioned something interesting in there about Chris Squire and how just musical and how much his bass played along with the vocals. And I'll tell you what, man. It is unbelievable to listen to some of the bass lines and some of the musicianship from those early Yes records. I mean, just another level. Rick Emmett was talking about it last week and how, he discovered Yes and all these bands, and then he just wanted to up his guitar game. And it's just, the stuff is just so good. Like I said, I recently bought Fragile. I recently bought 90125, like really mint condition copies of them just because they're so good. And I had to get some newer copies. But, really cool talking to John Anderson. Another classic rock front man coming up here before the end of the week. That's all I'll say. If you get a chance, subscribe to the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. 5-star ratings. And, of course, our reviews on Apple and iTunes are always appreciated. And, as always, thank you so much for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.